Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Third hour, DDC. We're live at Patron Platinum Club inside Bridgestone Arena. Predators and Calgary Flames tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop. D. Weber, Hal Gill will have your call on these airwaves. I'll have pregame for you starting at 6. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you.
Tagging in.
You're in. You're up.
I'm in.
Chase the suit on the way out the door.
Put me in, coach. There
Michael Giannetti is the co-founder, editor, Spot Rack, now joins us here on the program. Michael, how you doing?
Doing good, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. We've been talking a lot about A.J. Brown is in the market for a new contract, and when you look at all the comparables, he keeps getting, you know, that class of Deebo Samuel and DK Metcalf and Terry McLaurin and A.J. Brown, they're lumped in that same group. What do you think ultimately, and those guys are looking for that next contract, what do you think for the purposes of A.J. Brown, because he's here with the Titans, what do you think the right number should be in your mind?
Yeah, look, mathematically speaking, and you know, really with the eye test and some of the injuries and games missed, he's a $22 million guy right now, and honestly, that's about $4 million more than where he was 12 months ago. So it's not that he exploded in 2021 and earned that extra $4 million. It's just that this market has gone to another level, as you know, and the guys above him are veterans on third-year contracts. So there's a little bit of leeway in terms of what these teams can do now with their sophomore contracts for A.J. Brown and players like Metcalf. But it really has pushed forward quite a bit. If I can tell you, it's, you know, 4 for $88 million for A.J. Brown right now. Some people look at that and say that's crazy. That's way too low because of the $30 million ceiling. Some people look at it and say that wasn't even $20 million six months ago. What the heck happened here? So it's a sliding scale. That's how the NFL is kind of working right now. If you're in the right position, money's moving fast.
Where do you think he is? Are they all together in that number? Like, where is he in the pecking order of that group that I mentioned?
No, I believe he's at the top of it. I really do. I know a lot of people want to put Deebo Samuel there because of his versatility, but it's really hard to value that right now. I think San Francisco's having a lot of trouble pinning an actual valuation on him long-term, not to mention he holds a little bit more injury, you know, concern with what he's doing over there. So I think he's just sitting at the top of this list. I put McLaurin slightly lower than him, even though mathematically speaking, that's not really how this works out on our website. You know, you can calculate it one way, but the eye test and where the market and where the trends are going are two separate things. So I think 22 is probably the high bar. But look, I'm being a realist here. If 30 is where the big guy is right now, 25 is where tier two starts. So if I'm his agent, I'm sitting down talking about 25 and nothing under.
We're talking with Michael Giannetti, Sport Track, talking about upcoming contracts and averages of contracts. Now, when you look at A.J. Brown and you know, these other receivers that are getting these enormous contracts, do you think this thing levels off pretty soon? Because I just see it continuing to skyrocket, especially when you see, you know, number two wide receivers and sometimes even number three wide receivers are getting these massive contracts as well.
I do think it's going to level off because, you know, the Hill contract, the Diggs contract, there's a lot of fluff, you know, air quotes fluff in those deals. You know, they're not exactly what they appear to be. It's not exactly a Deshaun Watson contract where the whole thing's locked in immediately. So I do think there'll be a little bit of correction to some of these numbers over the next year or two, but I think you're talking more globally with this position. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think it's going to slow down unless there's a reason to do so, unless these guys completely flame out, you know, on a 70 to 80% clip, which I don't expect is going to happen. The problem is this, and it's a good problem for teams to have. There's wide receivers in free agency. There's wide receivers available by a trade. There's 12 available every draft over the last 3 to 4 years. So the supply is there. But to get this true number one, and that's what we're dealing with here, I do think that number is going to continue to rise.
Now, another guy that contract will be coming up pretty soon within the next 2 years, Jeffrey Simmons. I know you on your website, you calculated him as a $21 million guy. But that number has to rise when he gets ready to sign his deal. So where do you think that money will be for Jeffrey Simmons?
Yeah, I can tell you right now that deal, that's already 25. You know, the math says one thing, but the eye test says a whole other thing. And I'll tell you why I'm saying that right now, because Aaron Donald's about to go 30. he's working on $30 million right now. It might only be a two-year $60 million tag onto what he has right now, but he's about to do that on the defensive line. So that's really going to screw some things up for players or for teams and agencies and things like that that are trying to lock in some team-friendly situations. So I do think he's waiting for a reason. He understands what's happening around him at that position. And look, you know, what's happening in Washington, what's happened in Philadelphia over the past couple of years, you've seen the market really push up for those versatile guys that can move, you know, left and right on that defensive line. And he certainly fits that bill. So I think it's 25 right now if they're trying to sit down at the table, and that's only going to get more expensive over the next 18 months.
Michael Jannetty is the co-founder and editor of SpotTrack, and we are talking salary cap and Tennessee Titans and the outlook here. So, Michael, as you look at the Titans as a whole, how do you think their budget is for these two big contracts? If you subscribe to the theory that when you draft and develop guys of that type of talent, you've got to keep them, do you think they can fit it in their cap structure?
I don't think this is the year to do that. I really don't. I think there's two big numbers sitting at the top of their cap table that scare them right now. One is Tannehill, one is Bud Dupree. I think they understand what they might have an issue with Bud Dupree's contract after this season and might have to do something about it. You know, if those were comfortable situations, sure, you restructure those contracts, drop the cap hits, and use that cap space to lock in some players right now. I do think A.J. Brown gets done. I'm not going to say that doesn't happen. I think that's probably going to happen. But with Simmons and the sizable numbers we're talking about with him, I do think that one might have to wait, because you're in a situation where you may be on a rookie quarterback contract next year, and that's where you want the value. That's where you want to be able to say, look, we're cheap at that position. Let's go out and start to keep some of our own elsewhere with top market contracts.
Why do you think that we hear so many people speculate about trades of an A.J. Brown? And at what point is the contract and maybe the demand, as you just kind of laid out there, the market is for wide receivers right now, and there is a decent supply, as you pointed out. How do you weigh when it's worthy of actually looking at a trade value there?
That's a great question, right? Because we've seen the Chiefs and Packers both break on that, and there was a price, there was a ceiling, and both those players tried to push north of that ceiling and got kicked out the door. So that is going to happen. That's going to be part of the supply and demand process, which is we'll pay you good money, but at some point in time, you know, you can't be the Miami Dolphins. You can't be a situation where we're going to pay whatever it takes, or even Cleveland with Watson. You know, there's some recklessness to doing that. So I think the number, like I said, with any of these wide receivers right now on their second contract is $25 million. And I'll tell you why. Because if you're talking about second contracts with wide receivers right now, active, the bar is 20. The bar is Amari Cooper right now. Everybody else above him is on a third contract, you know, a true superstar veteran wide receiver number one. So to jump from 20 to 28 with that second contract, I think is too big of a leap. So for me, it would be $25 million. That's where I'd be slotting in the second tier of wide receiver contracts over the next couple of months. And if A.J. Brown truly wants to push up near $30 million, that's when you're going to start to hear some serious conversations about moving him out the door.
So what would it be, what would be the return that you'd be looking for to make it worthwhile if you were going to look at this? It seems like they really want to get this done if it's possible, but if this kind of thing happens here, as you're talking about, what would be the return that would have you interested?
Yeah, something similar to what the Packers did. You know, the Chiefs, I think, they got more than I think anybody expected them to get. They're sitting here with a ridiculous amount of top 100 picks over the next 2 years. So I think that's probably too much to ask for a player who needs to get paid immediately. But two legitimate picks, whether it's one this year, one next year, or two this year, and obviously that first one has to be a direct replacement for A.J. Brown. So you've got to get yourself in a situation where wherever the third or fourth wide receiver on this draft board is about to hit, you want to be sitting there, whether that's late in the first round, whether that's early in the second round. I think that's probably goal number one with moving A.J. Brown. I can't get there, by the way. I don't think they're going to move on from him. I think the situation is too good for them to move on from. But I do think it's at least two top 100 draft picks this and next year.
Hmm. You finally, Michael, you've got Tannehill's cap hit at $38.6 million and his base salary as $29 million this season. I heard you kind of slide that in when you were talking about him. You know, they'll be maybe on a rookie quarterback contract next year. Do you think this is the last year for Tannehill in Nashville?
Yeah, I do. And the reason I'm saying that is because of the reason I gave you before. They haven't touched that contract. That's generally an indication to me. It's a big red flag for me that there's at least a concern about his long-term presence here, because obviously with the quarterback contract that and that big base salary, that's the easiest kind of money to move around. That's easy. So they're not doing it. They haven't done it yet. They may do that, and we've seen that with Matt Ryan in Atlanta. They do it whether they want to do it or not. But the fact that they haven't touched it yet is at least a signal to me that there's some concern about his status in 2023.
Mm. Good stuff as always, Michael. Really appreciate the visit. We'll talk to you down the road.
You bet, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep. Michael Jannetty, good info right there from SpotRack. Mm-hmm. We'll discuss all that and more on the other side. But first, Willie, you've got a word about Loan Pronto.
Indeed, I do. Loan Pronto has the dream that you're looking for. Some of you out there, you've had maybe some credit card bills or some sort of loans that have the interest rates that you're like, I got to get out of this. How do I do this? Well, Loan Pronto wants you to know that right now they have a plan to get rid of credit card payments or those other high interest loans. Imagine your monthly cash flow without those payments. That's the dream. You can do it today with Loan Pronto's debt consolidation refi. Loan Pronto has a great system. They can help you use the equity in your home to your advantage, and it's a smart financial move. So here's the deal. Your home's value is high. Inflation's been great for that. So you can refinance your mortgage now. Take money out to pay off all your credit cards, eliminate PMI charges, pay off personal loans, or other high-interest debt. So a lot of teams are doing this in their household. One couple had $50,000 in credit cards and personal loans. Loan Pronto did a debt consolidation refi for them, and even though their mortgage rate went up a little bit, they cut their monthly payments by $900 a month. So why pay 20% interest when you can consolidate it into one low payment with a mortgage APR in the threes? Call now and find out more with Loan Pronto, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781. Subject to lender approval.
Good stuff back here on the DDC on our text line. An unnamed texter just texted in Dale Earnhardt. My response is Dale Earnhardt Jr. Thank you for your text. Another texter, Dylan. Can you ask Michael how to correctly pronounce where he's from?
No.
SpotRack is what he told Elijah.
SpotRack.
We usually say SpotRack.
Rack.
So it's not
but
a spot.
Elijah's saying that Michael told him SpotRack.
Yeah. SpotRack.
So there's a track. SpotRack.
SpotRack. Yeah. And then you kind of put your fingers like this.
Yes.
And you go, peace. SpotRack.
Yeah. Like Mr. Yeah. Spock, the Vulcan.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Dylan, that's what Nanu. Who's the co-founder.
Guess that too. Yeah. Mork
and Mindy.
Yeah.
Nanu. For all those youngers that are listening, yeah. It was Mork and Mindy.
So yeah. When you go
in going way back.
Spot
I was going back
go, Nano.
I was with you, though. I was with you, though.
So that's what Michael, the co-founder, told Elijah before we yeah. started the interview.
So let's think track. We're tracking things.
Spot track. We've been saying spot rack.
Yeah.
But he said SpotRack.
SpotTrack.
Nano.
Not Star Trek.
Stop and then, off. Let's see, who else? This is, real quick, last one. unnamed texter. Why are you guys tagging each other in and out? Can't the four of you do it? I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, you could.
But yeah. We could, but yeah.
It's like, no,
this
not
desk
room.
Is only so big.
Yeah.
Just saying. You know?
But and right. Then the song would be different. It'd be the four best friends.
That's a good point. That's another layer to it. Okay. There's a lot of layers, speaking of, to break down from that just conversation right there with Michael Jannetty from
There's a lot to track.
Spa Track. There's a lot to track. Thank you. Let's start with Ryan Tannehill there at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
He slid it in, and I wanted to go back to it because I'm like, huh, he kind of slid that into his answer.
It's quick.
Like, this is the last year of Ryan Tannehill, and they'll be on a rookie contract the following year. And it's interesting because this is what they do. For the people who heard him answer it at the very end of that interview, the way I took it is he's saying, well, since they haven't gone to him, it's like, hey, we need to reconfigure some things. Mm-hmm. Which they do with big contracts all the time, right? They did it with Julio Jones. What happens is when you move on from them, like the Falcons have done with Matt Ryan, right?
Mm-hmm.
What happens? This year they've got tons of dead money. Tons and tons of dead money. They've got dead money from Julio Jones. He's saying the tip for him is the fact that they haven't gone to rework Tannehill's deal says they're moving on, and they don't want all the dead money. Do you guys agree with that?
I mean, yeah, because they have to start thinking about contracts in the future. AJ, Jeffrey Simmons. Now, if they were to keep Ryan next year, his dead cap hit is only $18 million. If they were to release him after that, his base salary actually goes down to $27 million, I believe. So his cap hit overall is like $36 million. Can they, with him being at the top of their pay scale, can they still sign the people that they want to sign? Typically, you know, if you have a guy that's making, you know, that's the top player, salary on the team, headed down toward the end, you want to rework that deal. If he's going to be here, say, for another 3 years, two, 3 years, you want to rework that deal so he gets his money, but it's a little bit more cap-friendly for the team so they can start making other moves with other individuals. They haven't done that thus far with Ryan. Now, they can do it moving forward, but they just haven't done it. And there are contracts on the horizon for them. You know, AJ's going to want over $100 million, or at least, you know, north of $22, $23 million per year. Jeffrey Simmons, when his deal comes up, and I know we are, you know, two seasons away from that, but it's likely you want to get that deal done sooner rather than later, say next year. He's going to be north of $25 million. I think he's closer to, if you want to wait, you know, 2 years, he's going to be $30 million. If he continues to go the way he's been going and play the way he's been playing, he's a $30 million guy. He's getting quarterback money. That's how important and how good he is to this franchise. So you're going to have to alleviate or take the stress off the cap somehow, some way. You have to. You know, how do we do it? Well, the quarterback. I told y'all weeks ago, like, listen, to me, if he doesn't get me to the Super Bowl and really win it, then why do we have you? You know, because our team is built. We have the pieces. You go to every position, and I can point out a top 10, 15 guy at every position that we have just about. And you can't at least get us to the Super Bowl? Why are you here? You know, we can draft a guy, let him sit behind you for a year, and then replace him at, what, $1.5 million, $2-3 million per year? Then we can use all that other money that we don't have, that we have now, to sign other people or sign our guys back. So to me, if he doesn't get it into the Super Bowl, he might as why is he here after that? I don't know.
Well, I think
because he's checked
done.
Every box except that. And if you can't, last year was the best opportunity, I believe, for the Tennessee Titans. Everything was in place for them, and he let them down. Who's to say it's going to be that way this year?
What they've done, I think, Derek, I think you and I are on the same page on this. I think they've set it up. They feel like we can swallow the big cap number this year, and we're going to put it on the line. This is your last year as the unquestioned starting quarterback. We feel like we're still in the window. We want to win, and we think we can do what we want to do within the cap. But the X factor is A.J. Brown's contract, which we'll get to. But, Darren, as you were saying, you know, it's a big cap hit this year. They have an out after this year. Now, best case scenario, if he has a great bounce back year, there's nothing that says they can't keep him the following year. But they just have the ability to get out of the contract if they want to after next year. That is what Michael, I think, is seeing on the horizon there. That's why he said, you know, potentially that's where you would come in with a less expensive starting quarterback. And that would open up your budget for the Jeffrey Simmons contract and for some other things that could clear up some space to where you can then bring in some more talent one way or the other. He mentioned Bud Dupree's contract, too. That's another one that has a high number. But they did the restructuring of Tannehill's contract last year to help shoulder the load of Julio Jones's contract. And so that did two things.
They're not willing to do it this year, though.
And I think that says if you knew he was going to be your starter for the next 3 or 4 years, then I think what Michael is saying, that's what he looks for. But I don't think you have assurances of that after this year.
Because why?
He's getting a little bit up there in age.
Let's say it together. This offseason is what? Than last offseason. It's different. It's different. That's why. It's different. This offseason for Ryan Tannehill, and now the Titans, because they're looking at him differently. They are.
He's also older. He's also going to be 34 this season.
Well, okay.
But he's a guy that I think...
I don't really look at that as a factor.
But I think how he's going to age, he is a very effective runner. I think it's once you start going year after year, when you get into mid-upper 30s, he's not going to be able to run the way he has run in his starts that have gotten them 30 wins out of 43 starts. He's 30 and 13. But I think these are the kind of things I look for anyway when you're trying to say how long is he going to be potentially a really good viable
I'll tell you
starter.
Another contract you need to watch for, and we discuss it off the break.
We got Tim Hasselbeck on the other side.
I can ask him about that.
Okay. Let's ask Timmy that. On the other side, DDC, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. We are. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, we just had Michael Jannetty on from SpotTrack to begin this hour. And I asked him about the group that everybody seems to be comparing. A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, Deebo Samuel, and Terry McLaurin. And to kind of rank them, who's number one in that group? And I'm not going to give you his answer because I want to hear your answer first. Kind of if you could, 1 through 4, how would you rank those four receivers?
I think Deebo would be number one for me. And DK would be last for me. And I think I would put A.J. Brown at 2 and McLaurin at 3.
Okay. By the way, Derek said earlier on the show that he believes DK Metcalf, this is what he is. And he said, he's good. This is his – he's reached his ceiling. This is what he is. Do you agree with that?
This is what he is.
He's going to get you.
You can sit there and look at A.J. Brown or McLaurin and be like, you know, what could they be Devontae Adams one day? Mm-hmm. Like I think you can see that in those guys. I don't think DK Metcalf could be. So maybe, you know, D-Mace is kind of looking at it from like that type of angle, and I would agree with that for sure.
Yeah, and I was looking at it from when I look at AJ, I see there's still a lot he can do, potentially can do. Mm-hmm. I look at DK, And I'm like, he's not a great route runner. He's big. He's fast. He's physical. If one of those things go away, you need to be a great route runner. And he's not. So he's going to, I think he will, for the next 3 years, whoever signs him, or if he signs back with Seattle, he's going to be 950, 1,100, maybe 1,200 yards, average 7 touchdowns. That's good, but it's not Davante Adams or Tyreek Hill, those guys that have this unbelievable ceiling. I think he's a good player, but I don't think he's going to get any better.
Yeah, I think, and maybe this is how you're looking at it, having just seen a bunch of guys come into camps and, you know, like, look, it's impressive when you see a guy who's like every bit of 6'4", and you're like, man, he's 220 pounds or maybe more. And like, but I think part of what happens with those guys, and maybe you feel a similar way, D-Mace, I'd be curious, is those guys, the ability to get in and out of breaks, like to stop and start, or to stop and come back and to change direction, like that fades quickly for some guys. And it also becomes a problem where they just don't have the same type of like short area quickness to get off of press. So like those to me are the things that I would worry about, of like these big, you know, monsters that, you know, if you will, that are playing wide receiver.
No, you're absolutely right. And that's why I give AJ and McLaurin and Debo, I look at those three guys that still have room for improvement, because the things that I see from them, and I know that they can get better at those things, where they just don't rely so heavily on just being big, fast receivers. I think DK relies heavy on being a big, physical, and fast receiver. And I think, like you said, after a while, you know, some of that stuff starts to fade, and you have to be able to run routes, get off in short spaces, get off of jams, you know, get in and out of your breaks. And I don't know if he's capable of doing that game in and game out.
Yeah, so listen, I don't know how you guys feel about my rankings, but
I was going to say, Jannetty actually had A.J. Brown first, which, if I'm being perfectly honest, I would have ranked them exactly as you did. I would have had Debo 1, A.J. 2, McLaurin 3, Metcalf 4. So I was a little surprised, but he had A.J. And he even said, with the caveat, I know most people will have Debo 1, but I would actually have A.J. 1.
Yeah, I just think that Debo's versatility has been something that's like another level, you know, that so far. And, you know, part of that is how, you know, it was in some ways out of necessity how he was used. And I think that in some ways, like, you know, D-Mace brought up the name Tyreek Hill. But Tyreek Hill, in some ways, you know, has been very unique at the position also, in terms of, you know, how Kansas City had been using him. And, you know, it was because, you know, stuff at the line of scrimmage, it was, you know, a shallow cross, it was stuff way, way down the field. But, you know, there were also things, you know, in the backfield. Think of, you know, before people were calling those touch passes, you know, it seemed like Patrick Mahomes was getting, you know, 6 touchdown passes a year on balls that traveled 6 inches in the air to Tyreek Hill. Like, people weren't doing that stuff as much as they are now before Kansas City was doing it with Tyreek.
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck, and we are talking football as we look forward to what the next move is with A.J. Brown. We were talking a lot, Tim, about where is the stopping point to where he's asking, or where even maybe the market is, to where you would have to consider a great offer if you got one in terms of a trade. Where would that be for you? We were hitting, when we were talking with Spot Rack, we were talking around 25 to 29, somewhere in there. If the market gets so high, then you would maybe have to consider it, even if you maybe don't want to.
You're saying million, or you're saying like picking a draft?
Million. in the millions.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it doesn't make sense for anyone to do a deal for any of these receivers that is, outside the parameters of the market, right? So, I feel that.
But is it fair to say that for these particular guys, the market, they're trying to change the market, right? That happens in some other sports.
Yeah, somebody changes the market. And then the next guy is going to say, okay, well, give me A.J. Brown plus a dollar. And then the next guy is going to say, all right, give me Debo plus a dollar. And then, but what these guys have to realize when they're doing this, right? So here's the deal. Just looking this up for A.J. So he's played three seasons. Okay, he's due, around $4 million this year. So he's like, all right, I've outperformed my rookie deal. I need some money. Let's do this. Well, he's not really free because they have him under contract this year, and then they could franchise him. So, and that'd be a lot of money, but then you're looking at, I don't know what the franchise number is, but say it's just south of 20. So now you have him for, under, $23 million over the next 2 years. You can do that. You know what I mean? So I just think that, when guys want deals and they want to reset the market when they are more than 2 years away from becoming truly a free agent, I don't know why the team would do that. Just wait them out.
All right.
Make sense?
Yes.
And that to me is the thing that, when people were getting sideways on the Kirk Cousins deal, it was guess what? He wasn't going to get that money if he was trying to negotiate that, with another year on the franchise tag in front of him. These guys that have reset the market at times, more often than not, it's because they've waited till the last minute. And so I think that's why, these guys that still have, the franchise tag potentially in front of them, because play it out a little bit for Tennessee. Okay, so who else would be franchised, heading into 2023?
I think he would be the clear-cut guy, because I don't think you would have to do it with Simmons because you would have the fifth-year option, correct?
Correct.
On him.
So, that's the other aspect of it where, let's say Simmons, because of the ACL injury in college, was, the first pick of the second round. Well, then you're in trouble. Then it's all right, well, one of these guys has got to get a long-term deal. So,
all right.
I think that you – and then – I think that's the thing that needs to be considered for all of these guys. All right, well, can they franchise you? Or is there somebody else they need to franchise? And, so what would that look like? So, I am all about players being hey, I've outperformed my deal. I'm doing the money. But I do think that when you're trying to reset the market and you technically have two more seasons without the team having to sign you to a long-term deal, it's going to be really hard to just reset the market.
All right, D-Mace, I'm setting the table for you to hit Tim with the last part, the contract you want to ask him about. So, Tim, we were talking down the road with Tannehill's contract at the head now with $38 million. Down the road, that contract will be certainly able to be gotten out of if they want to, if he doesn't have the big bounce back season. You've got the Jeffrey Simmons budget you have to account for. You've got Bud Dupree's cap hit that's very, very high. But, Derek, you were thinking about a contract that's on the horizon, too, that people probably need to wrap their mind around a little bit.
Yeah, because I don't think anyone's really thought about it. But it's Derek Henry's contract after this season. his cap hit would only be – dead money would only be $3 million after this season. Do the Titans go to him? Because to me, Derrick Henry has set this problem up for himself because he's been so good that even if he comes back this year and rushes for 1,400 yards, well, people are going to say, oh, it's not the Derrick Henry. well, how many backs are rushing for 1,400 yards? And the Titans may look at it as, well, if he's slowing down, if we either try to release him or try to rework this deal, you know, we better do it now, because if we don't, then we got to pay him the whatever he makes next year. I think it's $12 million next year. We rework the deal? I think that's a contract that people need to start paying attention to. Either they rework his deal, or there's a potential of Derek possibly not being here.
Yeah, I think you're right, because here's what happens. If he has a good year, I think they go ahead and digest the, as you said, it's $12.5 million. Mm-hmm. You go ahead and you digest the $12.5 million if he has a good year, because at that point in the 2023 season, he's still, you know, under 30 years old. He'll be coming off of a good year. And I think they'd be fine with it. If he, now remember, he had the foot injury this past mm-hmm. year. And so if he does not have a good year, then I think you're right. I don't think it's about going to him and being like, hey, what can you work out? I think at that point, because then you would have, you know, two seasons, one with a broken foot and then one, you know, a down year, if that's what, you know, we're predicting. And then you're talking about doing a deal for a guy that's 29 and would be 30 in the 2024 season, when you know, just in the history of the league, that just hasn't gone well. Like, have there been a couple outliers? Sure. But, you know, you're not doing deals based on outliers. So, yeah, I think you're right about that. And, you know, and I think that, you know, on the Tannehill front, like, to me, that ends up being more of a, you know, going to him and being like, all right, because you see it all the time. Like, you saw it, you know, with Breeze, and you saw it with Cousins to an extent. And I think quarterback is the more realistic scenario, where you go to the guy and you go, okay, look, we're going to convert some of this to bonus money so we can spread it out. And quite honestly, you just actually become a little bit more committed to that player.
Tim, we appreciate it as always. Have a great week, and enjoy the warm weather like mm-hmm. us, and then we'll talk next week. Draft week.
Is it warm? Is
not really.
It'll be warm this weekend.
Not today. But
no. I sat out at a high school baseball game last night and froze.
By the end of the week, it's going to be awesome.
The Smyrna Braves will be back in business. Let's go.
Tidal Wave Blue. That was 2.5 years ago, Tim.
That's right. That's
love
right.
You.
I forgot. You're getting the cut of the new uniforms. I forgot. Yeah. My bad.
The new marketing slogan, catch the wave. Catch the wave.
We're going to be like the Padres. We're putting Motorola on our sleeve this season.
I mean, unbelievable. These poor parents, man, about 7 different uniforms.
That's right.
Great. Tim, always appreciate it. Thank you.
See you, fellas.
Yep.
We'll come back, wrap up the third hour. Robbie Stanley to begin the final hour. Things on tap here on the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game. I don't see or hear any thunder. I guess you don't see thunder. I don't hear thunder. I hear thunder struck. Back here on the DDC. By the way, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. So we've been talking about it. You don't think John Robinson isn't aware of what's lurking around the corner? A lot of big. You want to keep these guys, and every team has to deal with this, right? Which is why life in the NFL, we know the rosters tend to change unless you've got that franchise quarterback, and then everything just revolves around that. But everybody else, not so much. Again, do they want to keep A.J. Brown? Sure, absolutely. But for the right price. They're not going to pay just anything, because the league has already told us, Michael Jannetty has told us. I brought this up yesterday. We've watched number one receivers go bye-bye. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Hopkins was traded. Mm-hmm. Amari Cooper's on his third team.
Yeah.
Davante Adams was traded. I mean, I can keep Tyreek Hill was traded. I can keep going on and on and on.
Stephon Diggs was traded.
It's
not that uncommon.
But, and so we know basically no one's except for the franchise elite quarterback. Then they just work everything around you. Running back is no different, even if you've got the special one like Derrick Henry.
even more interchangeable than any of those positions, I think, in this day and age of the NFL.
Even though he is the exception, yes. I think, to all the rules.
So let's go to what Derek was bringing up. He has 2 years left on his current contract. It's a $15 million cap hit this year, $15.5 next year. So for him to be worth $15.5 next year against the cap, he's going to still need to be the exception and the special, special running back he's been. So this is the key question on the bounce back of Derrick Henry. Is what would the numbers have to look like, generally speaking, for him to earn and them not to have to address the 15.5? Say, look, he's worth every penny of that. We're not making any moves. Because the dead cap is only $3 million to get out of that contract after this coming year. They're clearly not going to do anything this year. Not that we know of, anyway. I guess they could rework it now. They could that'd be a bold move to move the money around a little bit and do it. But I don't. It doesn't. There's no signal that that would happen. So we looked at some theories, Derek. Let's say he missed a couple of games to injury.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which happens at this stage of a guy's career. So let's say he plays 14 or 15 games instead of 17, and he has somewhere around 1,200 yards. Let's just say that. So a good year, but not an exceptional year. Mm-hmm. For most people, that'd be a really good year, 1,200 yards. But for Derrick Henry and a guy making 15.5, that would be the tricky thing. Because not only is he Derrick Henry, he's the spiritual engine that drives the team. He's the utmost respect. It's a little bit like Eddie George.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, I think if he missed, and I pray to God it doesn't happen.
Right. This is all hypothetical.
He misses three games.
Everybody hopes he goes back.
And it doesn't have to be three games consecutively. It can be three games, however you want to split it out. First five games.
Yeah.
And after the first five games, he misses a game. Then the next, he misses a game. Okay. And his numbers are what, 1,200, 1,300? I think in their minds they would be looking to, we need to get another running back.
Get another running back or try to readjust the contract. That would be the tricky part because you heard Tim sort of say.
Well, he's getting older. So do you want to rework it and have to, you know, be tied to that contract for another 2 years? So I think they would be more inclined to, listen, we love you, Derek, but it's a business.
Yeah, but he is the most popular player on the team.
Eddie was the most popular player on the team too. That's what happens.
Eddie was
matter.
In year 9
I
at
know.
That point.
I know, and he would be in year
Where's
8.
Derek.
I think year close. 7 or 8.
It's close.
Somewhere
close.
Around there.
Close.
Yeah.
Close.
Yeah, you can be popular.
I think Eddie had maybe another year or two under his belt, right? Didn't he have 1,000 yards for each of his first 10?
He might have been a year because he went to Dallas in year what? It might have been.
Was it 04 or 05 that he went to Dallas?
It was everybody was gone after 04 season. So he went in 03. He went to Dallas
before
in 03.
You.
Yeah. He left the year before.
So he was on the 03 team that went and lost to New England in the famous playoff game, the freezing cold playoff game. He was on the team there. I think he was out the next year. No,
he wasn't on that team.
Yeah, he was.
Was he?
He was.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. You're right. He was on that team. And then the next year,
was
he was in Dallas because I remember us playing Dallas playing Dallas in the preseason, I believe.
So his first year was 96. So 96 to 03.
Yeah.
So it's a similar timeline.
Yeah, similar timeline.
Get down with it.
And my thing is, if he indeed missed games and say it's 1,200, 1,300 yards, I think they would be looking to move on. Now, here's what would be the caveat to all of that.
Wow, whenever 12 and 1,300 yards.
I know. But he set the bar. He set the bar high. He set the bar high.
And we're not even talking about average yards per carry and efficiency and stuff like that. I mean, that's got to be taken into account.
Exactly.
We're just talking about general terms. If he has a good year but not a great year, and he's making 15.5, that's a tough call.
But here's the caveat
right here.
Here's the caveat. If they move on from Tannehill.
and you have a little more money to work with.
No, you're gonna have need a stabilizing force. You're gonna need somebody you can, that young quarterback can hand the ball off to, that you know, that you know, yeah, he's not the Derrick Henry of old, but he's still good. Is his declining play worth 15? Maybe not, but
right. But what would a Bill Belichick do? It would be a no-brainer. He'd be moving on.
Yeah,
he'd be moving on. That was the Patriots thinking.
Especially at running back. That's
yeah,
the
exactly.
That's true.
Nobody
they
is
the
safe. That's they true. Work around
good
the
point.
Quarterback.
Yep, that's a good point.
By the way, he's doing all this stuff now. How's that working without that quarterback?
Well, pretty darn good.
Because of all the playoffs they've won?
They got back to the playoffs without Brady.
No, how many playoff games have they won since Tom Brady left?
He's still a young guy.
Replacing Tom Brady.
Okay,
yeah, you're replacing the greatest quarterback of all time.
You think that was just going to be a wave the magic wand and sustain everything?
I'm telling Peyton you said that.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
I'm not telling.
In my eyes, it's always Peyton.
You already said Tom.
It's always Peyton in my eyes.
Terrific Tom.
But, hey, I can't be naive.
Peyton, you heard it. Derek Mason said it.
The masses are saying it's Tom, so I'm not going to go against that.
Let's. Final hour, we begin with Robbie Stanley from Robbie and Rex Road. Said something pretty interesting yesterday morning, a little rant that he went on that I want to start with, that I want to get his take again for those who didn't hear it. We'll do that next. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.